Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. It is always a sobering thing to read the Bible and to recognize that God used Israel as the axe of his judgment against Canaan. The Israelites had survived 40 years of wilderness wanderings. The question was, would they also survive prosperity in the land of promise? And if so, adherence to the laws of Yahweh would be crucial. Israel, of course, was in transition from the edge to entry into the land of promise. And just over that border, wickedness was reaching its full measure as parents sacrificed their sons and daughters to Moloch. Moloch was a bull-headed deity with a human body and a belly that burned like the horrors of hell. Children as old as 4 were placed in the white-hot arms of that monster. And as the flame would burn the child and surround the body, the limbs would shrivel up, and the mouth would actually appear to grin as if laughing until it shrunk enough to slip into the cauldron. The land of Canaan was at the point of no return, and Israel would be the axe of her judgment. For 400 years, God showed mercy. Now, judgment was on the border. Those who imagine that God was precipitous in his judgment need only think back on the judgment of Sodom. For 10 righteous people, God would have spared that city, but there were none. Far be it from you, said Abraham, to kill the righteous with the wicked, treating the righteous and the wicked alike. Far be it from you. Will not the judge of the earth do right? So we see God's martial instructions qualified by his moral intentions to spare the repentant. And the author of Hebrews makes that plain when he notes that by faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Not only were she and her family spared, she was reckoned as true Israel and came to hold a privileged position in the lineage of Jesus Christ himself. Ironically, today, the loudest protests against God's judgment on the Canaanites come from those who clamor for the right to terminate the lives of the unborn children living in the warmth of their mother's wombs today, while the very thought causes the faithful to recoil in horror and disbelief. They are no longer located on the border of Canaanite country. We're in the USA. And nor are we governed by the laws of an ancient theocratic kingdom. No, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds, says Paul. And how do we do it? Well, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God by being equipped believers, ready always to give an answer or reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. If it is not for you, as salt and light in our nation, the nation will continue to corrupt and corrode. You are called to be that leavening force. But Jesus said, if the salt loses its saltiness, how's it going to be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. All of that to say that you have an opportunity to make a difference while there is yet time. When I ask people to support this ministry, it's not for any other reason than to build the body of Christ, to equip God's body, to give answers and use those answers to reach people with a message. That message doesn't save them in America. It saves them in more than that. It saves them in an eternal sense. It's not just to give us a better, more prosperous country. It's about the country that Abram only saw from afar, a country whose builder and architect is God. I'm talking about the new heaven and the new earth where indwells righteousness. That's our inheritance, and that's why I ask you to be a team member with this ministry, making a difference for time and for eternity. We need you on the team. We need your generous support, for we want to touch ever more lives. You can give on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or when you pick up the phone and talk to our resource consultants, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. First caller today, Winston, in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Hi, Winston.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
It's all scary. Like, I'm going back into believing in Christ. I grew up in a Christian home. I'm an Aboriginal native. Mm-hmm. And as growing up, I got to know my grandma. She's a wonderful woman. And she taught me the native ways, respect and all that. And I guess I just turned my back on God. And I just, because I thought to myself, if God made me a native and gave me this culture, why can't I practice it? And I did with my grandma, and as I grew up, I didn't really understand. I'm going back into belief. The only question I have is my grandma passed away when I was born. She wasn't saved, but she always believed in the native way because, forgive me for saying this, but she just did not, back in the days it was hard for natives, and she did not trust the white man. Does that mean she's going to hell?
Well, what I can say is this. Whether your grandmother, you, me, or anyone else, according to the Bible, we all have the light of creation, which is to say, when we look at created things, we know that there is a creator. And we intuitively know that we should worship the creator as opposed to worshiping created things. Furthermore, we have the knowledge of God written upon the canvas of our consciousness, and therefore, no matter where we are, we can receive the light of Christ in any epoch of time and in any place in time. And Paul makes that clear on Mars Hill when he says, from one man God made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. He determined the exact time and places that they should live. God did this so that men might reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Therefore, we know that your grandmother will be justly judged. All those who want a relationship with God can have that relationship. It's only those who do not want that relationship with God that will not have it. And remember, it's not the absence of knowledge that damns. It's the despising of knowledge that damns. And therefore, I would be the last to sit in judgment on your grandmother. I don't know. I simply don't know. I know this, that if she responded to the light of creation and the light of conscience,
yeah,
she could be saved through Christ.
Okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate this. And you know, I came across your, like I said, I just got back into believing it, and I thought, I'm not going to run from what I was brought into. And your station just came on by accident. And just as you were answering questions, because I have so many questions, and a lot of questions that I hear on your broadcast are some same questions I have. And I believe that I was brought to listen to that radio station that one moment. And I listen to it every 4 o'clock.
Well, bless you, Winston. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and may he use you as a sharp tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit in touching other people. Remember, you're going to touch people within your sphere of influence that I can't touch. So get equipped, be faithful, be fruitful. God has a plan for your life. I appreciate you calling.
Thank you very much for taking the call.
You got it. We'll be right back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So don't touch that dial.
The Church of Almighty God, also known as Eastern Lightning, is a socially subversive pseudo-Christian cult. It follows a self-proclaimed female Christ whose heretical doctrines incite violence. Denying the Trinity and biblical authority, Eastern Lightning uses psychological intimidation, disrupts families, and has even perpetrated physical assaults. In graphic language, the counterfeit Christ exhorts followers to abandon their families and devote themselves to recruiting new converts, branding those who refuse as worthless. You can read more about the iron rod of this false almighty God in a special print issue of the Christian Research Journal. To receive your copy, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping, life-changing outreaches. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank Hanegraaff will be back with more right after this. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his 4 decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Jim, listening in Texas. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Hank. My question, is there any extra biblical, historical, maybe secular records or accounts of supernatural plagues that brought the Egyptian nation to its knees?
Well, a couple of things. There's not necessarily in Egyptian archives that have been discovered through archaeology and the like evidence for this. What you have is biblical evidence for this. And there's a lot that you can go to. For example, no nation would be likely to invent for itself and then transmit century after century or millennium after millennium this inglorious, inconvenient tradition unless it had, of being enslaved by the Egyptians, of course, unless it had an authentic historical core. So it's as unlikely that the Jews invented the Exodus as it was that they invented the Holocaust. But there's also some tangential evidence that points to this, which is to say the Merneptah stele was uncovered. It's a 7.5-foot black granite stone slab, and it was inscribed in Egyptian hieroglyphics. And there you have Pharaoh Merneptah boasting that Israel is wasted, that she's bare of seed. And the metaphor implies that Israel's store of grain was destroyed and they no longer posed a military threat. Well, the Merneptah stele was inscribed shortly before 1200 BC, and it demonstrates that as of 1230 BC, Israel was already in the land of promise as a significant socio-ethnic entity, meriting the attention of the mighty Merneptah, or Pharaoh Merneptah. So there is tangential evidence that points to the Exodus, that points to the truth of what the Bible's communicating, that this is a core historical reality, buttressed by fact. But I don't think you're going to have the Egyptians pointing to one of the most inglorious moments in their history and memorializing that in some way to point out, look, we just got the heck beat out of us. But again, tangential evidence, yes.
Well, you have like historians, you know, who are very passionate about recording events, you know, that from their perspective, because they've got that historical bent, like Josephus and Tacitus and stuff. So that was all I was wondering.
Yeah, and again, that's what I'm pointing to. I'm saying that there is all kinds of tangential evidence. In fact, I lay a lot of it out in my book, Has God Spoken, particularly with respect to the enslavement of the Israelites under the Egyptians. So this is not without historical precedent, and certainly there's also a great and grand case to be made that the Bible's divine as opposed to merely human in origins, and therefore what you have in terms of the actual historical record that you have in the Bible is trustworthy as well.
Okay, thank you, Hank.
You got it. Thank you for your call. Back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Dorothy. She's listening in West Plains, Missouri. Hi, Dorothy.
Hi, Hank. My question is in regards to the parable of the fig tree, mm-hmm. and I don't know the exact definition of the parable of the fig tree. Is it in relation to the rebirth of Israel in 1948?
Are you talking about Mark 13?
I'm talking about Mark 13, yes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, well, that's what Jesus says there. He says, learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things happening, you know that it is near right at the door. So what is the lesson of the fig tree? It's not really about the fig tree. It's about the leaves of the fig tree, right? And in fact, to see that for certain, just look at Luke's rendition, where Luke says, look at the fig tree and all the other trees. As soon as they sprout leaves, you know that summer is near. So this is a lesson that Jesus Christ is giving, an object lesson, so you can see that the generation will not pass until all the things he's talked about in the Olivet Discourse come to be, and that is Jerusalem and the temple will be destroyed. And Jesus makes no equivocation here. He's not unclear. He says, this generation will not pass away. Had that generation passed away, Jesus would legitimately be counted as a false prophet. But all the things that Jesus Christ described did happen within that generation exactly as he said they would. That's the point.
Okay, so it has nothing. What prompted my question was a minister on TV made the statement that those who were alive and saw the rebirth of Israel in 1948, they would also see the Son of Man coming. And I have really done a lot of searching and in the Bible. And this was the closest thing I could find to what he said.
Yeah, well, of course, the Olivet Discourse isn't dealing directly and specifically with the second coming of Christ, but Christ coming in judgment. So context becomes determinative. And these kinds of televangelists and their proclamations haven't worked out very well. First, it was 1948, and then they added 40 years to that, a generation, subtracted seven for a tribulation, and came up with 1981. That didn't work out very well. So then they said, well, it's not actually when Israel became a nation. It's actually where Israel, modern Israel, takes over Jerusalem. And so that was 1967. Then they added 40 years to that, subtracted 7 years for the tribulation, came up with the year 2000. That didn't work out. Well, then they started fudging around with how long a generation was. Maybe it's not 40 years, and on it goes. But one thing these modern televangelists have in common is they're 100% wrong 100% of the time. They simply don't know how to read the text for all it's worth. Now, not all televangelists believe the same thing in this regard. Some suggest that the fig tree represents the restoration of modern Israel. But there are others who say that the fig tree is used as an illustration for the nearness of the second coming of Christ. John Wolford was an example of that. In reality, what Jesus Christ is doing is dealing specifically and directly with judgment that is going to befall Jerusalem and the temple within a generation. And in fact, you can look at the illustrations that Jesus Christ uses. He's using language of the Old Testament prophets and then directly and specifically associating that language, that judgment language, to what's going to happen to Jerusalem. So the problem with the televangelists is they don't know how to read the Bible for all it's worth, and they're joined with modern fundamentalists from the left, people like Bart Ehrman, who try to make Jesus a false apocalyptic prophet, and they take the language, the sun, moon, and star, you know, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not show its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and so forth. They don't realize that the exact language is used in the Old Testament with respect to judgment on nations, and therefore they don't see how Jesus Christ is using it. But it's just biblical illiteracy. It has nothing to do with the second coming, has nothing to do with the restoration of Israel as a nation under Christian and secular Zionism.
Thank you for your answer.
You got it. I lay all of this out in great detail again in my book, The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters. Today, back to the phone lines, talk to Geraldine in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Geraldine.
Hi, Hank. How can we be overcomers as Christians to things that we've asked God and prayed for God to give us deliverance and help, and yet we continue to, you know, do the same thing over and over again? And what is the solution to that?
Well, first of all, keep confessing your sin, because he is faithful and just, and he will forgive you your sin and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. But secondly, partake of the means of grace, and also exercise the spiritual disciplines. Christ modeled that during his earthly sojourn. We should partake of spiritual disciplines. And that also comes with some practical application, in that there should be a system of accountability. The church is that system. Within the church, there should be some accountability, because many logs burning together will burn brightly, but a log that falls off to the side, the embers quickly die out. You need the body of Christ. You need accountability. You need help from other believers. Paul depicts that in very precise language in Romans chapter 12. So partake of the means of grace and the spiritual disciplines that are offered to you in Scripture, prayer, Bible reading, participation in a healthy, well-balanced church. And there are other spiritual disciplines that are mentioned in Scripture as well that I lay out in my book, The Covering.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You got it. Appreciate your call. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do you remember Monday through Friday, right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we answer your questions. Also, your questions answered in my complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, also available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can find resources like that available on the web at equip.org. You can write me, as always, Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or resource consultants available at 888-7000 and the letters CRI. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time right here with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.